You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Realism in sparring and the scientific method. A typical paradigm in science is to carefully observe whatever it is that you're studying, meticulously record the data you've gathered, and then employ your creativity in order to generate a workable hypothesis to explain the data. You must then put on your big scientist pants and do the adult work of testing the hypothesis. And, if you're a conscientious scientist, you should not become emotionally attached to your precious hypothesis and use the tests to try and prove it. Rather, you should try hard to disprove it. So what does this have to do with the martial arts? In the early stages of your martial arts training, any technique that you begin to learn will at first be much like a hypothesis. You won't know for a certainty that the technique will work for you until you've seen and felt it work under conditions that closely resemble a real fight. Preferably many more times than just once. Striking training poses a problem in this regard. How do you know how that punch or kick would have worked in a real fight? There are two common ways to address this question. The first is to spar with hard contact. This has the advantage of reducing or eliminating much of the doubt regarding the outcome of an exchange of blows. I must admit that when I made the transition from light contact to hard contact in the early 1980s, I was intimidated at first. But once I grew accustomed to it, I found the greater clarity of outcome refreshing. The problem with hard sparring, especially over the span of a long career, is the higher incidence of injury and the accumulation over time of nagging chronic injuries. In addition, and of even greater importance, is that in recent years we've learned a great deal about concussion and brain injury. It turns out that the data show that while concussions are dangerous and must be avoided, there's another problem with greater implications. The accumulation over time of lesser brain trauma, well below the level of concussion, inflicts significant neurological damage as well. That means that many or most of the blows to the head that I sustained over more than 40 years of sparring, at least 25 years of which was hard contact, probably caused more neurological damage than I would ever have suspected or would care to admit. It turns out that just as the brain is not capable of feeling pain, it is also not possible to toughen your brain, only to further damage it. To give you an idea of the scope of these data, it turns out that a significant portion of soccer players sustain brain damage from heading the ball many times over the years. That should give you an idea of what punches and kicks might do over the years. This information has compelled me to reevaluate the frequency of hard contact sparring at my academy. The second way of addressing the problem of realistically integrating the skills of your striking game is by using what my Muay Thai instructor calls timing sparring. This is a very low-drama way of training where you spar while working on your setups, defense, combinations, and footwork with a live partner who does the same. But the key is that neither fighter is sparring to win. Each fighter flows smoothly through his attacks and defenses while watching out carefully for the safety of his or her partner, being especially careful to minimize head contact. Neither athlete allows their ego to overreact when their partner scores. Watching two high-level striking specialists do this well is a pleasure. A true thing of beauty. Each fighter, in his or her time, gets off nicely thrown attacks into beautifully executed defenses with little or no awkward clashing. This description reveals the difficulty of this method. It requires a mature attitude from both fighters, something which fighters, especially young fighters, frequently lack. Thus, it's the responsibility of the teacher to be vigilant in guiding the fighters to the proper method. I am still experimenting with mixing in rare to occasional moderate to hard contact sparring for those of my students who fight in the ring or in the cage. But as we continue to learn about brain injury, my bias is growing towards continuing to reduce the amount of hard contact. In judo and wrestling, outcomes are less necessary to simulate. While throws, takedowns, and pins can cause injury, they do so at a much lower rate than does striking. And it's pretty easy to accurately tell who's getting the better of whom. Then there is submission grappling. One feature of submission grappling training that draws a stark contrast to striking training is that the grappler, if he is wise, attacks from a position of control. This control frequently allows him to apply the attack gradually enough to allow time for his partner to submit. I think that the simple act of tapping out, or alternatively, verbally signaling submission when practicing grappling, is one of the most profoundly important inventions in the history of the martial arts, raising this particular facet of the martial arts much closer to being a science by introducing replicable and safe experimentation. While voluntarily submitting to avoid injury might seem like an obviously sensible act to you or me, some people would rather, foolishly, sustain injury than submit. Others avoid training and grappling at all for fear of ever having to admit defeat in this way. For those with a healthy attitude, however, the act of tapping is an amazing tool that enhances your training and reduces the incidence of injury. And most important of all, it gives a pretty reliable answer to the question, does this technique work? A smart scientist sets up experiments under conditions that are safe and repeatable. Many repetitions of the experiment make the data that he or she gathers much more reliable. Learning to tap allows you to repeat grappling scenarios against a resisting partner as many times as you wish, and much more safely. That brings up the issue of, aside from a good instructor, the single most important tool you have, your training partner. There will be many occasions in sparring, judo randori, wrestling, or rolling when your partner will get the better of you. You must not allow this to get your panties in a bunch. Your partner is just that, your partner, not your enemy. And he just revealed to you a potential hole in your game. Thank him profusely. A scientist appreciates all data, whether it proves, disproves, or says nothing about his hypothesis, including data that would appear to some as a failure. It's only a failure if you, the martial artist and scientist, failed to observe the results of your experiment and learn from your observation. There is no losing when you're learning. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.